It's good to be here. It's good to be with you. This church has supported us for a number of years. Your school supports us. You got a good group of kids in the school. I love them. They are energetic. I'll put it that way. They got some energy. But as Pastor said, I'm with the Capital Area Pregnancy Center. Most people know us as the baby bottle people. And one of the reasons I'm happy to be here today is I can look you in the eye and thank you. If you send us checks, you get a thank you note and that sort of thing. But I love looking you in the face and thanking you. Last year, those little baby bottles that you put your change in, last year you folks raised over $6,000. Think about that, per baby bottle. That's amazing. And I have to admit, I get really excited with the money. I'm the guy that's responsible for paying the bills, so it's really nice to see the cash flow coming in. But seriously, the thing that is the best is what we do with the money. I get excited by the way God uses the center as we spend the money that you give us. And because of that, I want to invite you. Now, my dad used to say there's no such thing as a free lunch, all right? And that's true. But we have a dinner coming up on March the 6th. Last year, we had over 700 people come. So if you want to come, that maxes out the Radisson, the Penn Harris, I guess it is now. And so get your reservation in early. There is no charge to come. The meal is free. But we do take an offering at the end. All right? And the reason I bring that up is, yes, it's wonderful to hear how you've provided the money, how we spend the money. But that night, you actually get to hear from actual clients who will share with you what has happened to their lives through the ministry of the Pregnancy Center, how God has used the ministry of the Pregnancy Center. Now, these ladies are not polished speakers, and most of them are terrified to stand up in front of that many people. And think about it, they're sharing some pretty intimate details about their life, you know, an unplanned pregnancy or the decision to have an abortion. And they're sharing with you, but they're sharing with you how God has taken them through that. Because of the nature of the topics, we do recommend adults only, okay? Because, like I said, some of these ladies are a little unpolished. Some of them aren't saved yet, and they may be straightforward. I'll put it that way. But come hear how your money's being spent. See what God's doing, and it's exciting. We used to have guest speakers. We don't do that anymore because we found that these testimonies are what people really revel in. It's a good thing to hear this. So I want to invite you. It's March 6th. If you would like to come, as I said, there's a sign up back there, but also you can go online and you can register online. And we look forward to having you. Before the banquet, pray for two things. Pray that that the ladies will not chicken out. Okay, because it's a scary thing. But also pray for the weather. I was reminded of this week. I thought, ooh, I hope we have a good night on March 6th because you can get some snow in March. So pray for that. I want to thank you for that very, very much. One last commercial. We have a fundraiser that my colleagues in Philadelphia don't understand at all. We have, and this year will be the 15th annual Shot at Life, where we do sporting clay shooting. And my colleagues in Philadelphia say, you raise money for babies by shooting guns? I said, we're not gangbangers. This isn't Philadelphia. This is central Pennsylvania. They just don't understand that at all, that we do that. It's a lot of fun. All the information is on our website. It's coming up in the springtime. And come out. This is a dad joke. It's a blast. It really is a blast. We have a great time doing that. So, well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, open them up to the book of John. And let's go to the Lord before we start. Father, sometimes when we look at your word, it rips us. It can be very hard. It can be like a two-edged sword that cuts right to the heart of everything. And Father, sometimes, like today, it is a joyful thing to look at your word. Father, we look in anticipation as we look at John chapter 3, and we see some wonderful, wonderful truths. Father, may you be pleased with what's said today. May it be your words and your thoughts. And Father, may we use these words to control our actions. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't get one, by the way, there were handouts in the back, and you're welcome. If you didn't get one, get up and go get one now. It's fine. And I even put a cheat sheet on the back table. I put one with all the blanks filled in, all right? So if I go too fast or you miss one, you can do that. Matter of fact, some of the men, it looks like they're going to bring, if you need one, put up your hand and they'll come. There's some back here, okay? And the notes will be there that you can have with you. The staff gets together every Monday morning, and we have a prayer time and we have a devotional time. Sometimes we read books together. We just recently read Mere Christianity. I hadn't read that in a long time, C.S. Lewis. One of the things we did is we said, what is the most well-known verse in Scripture? Not just in the church, but in the world. What is the most common? And we came up with John 3:16. You all know that, don't you? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Okay, we can go home. No, probably the best. I remember, do you remember? Oh my, I bet it's been 20 years. The first time you saw somebody in the end zone. Okay, hey, Super Bowl. Somebody in the end zone with the John 3:16. You know, and I remember some football players, they have the patches under their eyes, and they had John 3:16 on there. It is a well-known verse. Matter of fact, there's a country song that the guy sings, and he says, I don't know much about the Bible, I just know 3:16. He doesn't even say John, he just says, I know 3:16. It's one of those verses. And that verse has been preached so many times. And the normal focus for this verse is that God loved the world. That's appropriate this month that we look at that, Valentine's Day coming up. God loved the world, but it's an evil world. It's an evil world. Romans 5, Paul tells us that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. We didn't have to do anything to earn his love. There's nothing we did, nothing that we deserve or were owed his love. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. We also see that God is the source of salvation in this verse. He gave. You know, that is the formula for love. You're going to hear a lot of things this month because of Valentine's Day about love. Biblical love, it's giving. It's an action. It's a verb. For God so loved the world, he gave. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave. If you want to know what love is, it's action toward others. It's not what you get, it's what you give. It's what you give. We see in the verse, and this has been preached, salvation's a gift received only by believing in God. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes is accepting something, not doing something. And we see that if you do believe, there's a contrast between perishing and eternal life. Everybody has two choices, and only two. Those are the options. Now, the duration is the same, eternal, but it's either life or death. Everyone is eternal. But we're not going to talk about any of that today. We're going to look at this verse from a little different angle. We're going to look at that adverb. There's an adverb there, and this is a less common focus. There's your first blank. It's a less common focus. The word so. For God so loved the world. And I took some time. I went through a lot of translations because I wanted to make sure that that word so was in all the and it is. Whether you're in the King James, the New King James, the NIV, the Living Translation, that word so is there. It's there. And I think it adds a level of intensity. I don't think it's a mistake that that little word is put in there. There's an intensity that comes with that two-letter word. When I stood up here at first, I said, I'm happy to be here today. I could have said, I'm so happy to be here today. Do you get the difference? How about, I remember my sisters, oh, mom and dad are going to be mad. No, they used to say, oh, mom and dad are going to be so mad at you. You get it? Now, I've never said this, but, you know, she's hot. Oh, she is so hot. Right? That word so puts some intensity into what's being said. And I don't think it's a mistake that that word is here. God so loved the world. It's intense. And what did he do in that intensity? He gave. He gave his one and only son. Pastor and I were talking. We hear about the Mormons and, you know, Glenn Beck, oh, he's a great Christian man. He's a Mormon. The Mormons believe that there is not one and only Son of God. They believe that Jesus is a Son of God. The Bible says he is the Son of God, the one and only. And he gave him for what? He gave him to suffer and die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty. We know from Paul again in Romans that everybody sins, for all have sinned. You know that verse. And it says everyone. And then it also goes on to say in Romans 6, Paul again, the wages of sin. We all know what wages are. Maybe there's a person out there that works for free, but most of us, we need wages. We need to be paid for what we do so that we can provide for our families. The wages of sin is death. If you sin, and it's said everybody sins, then everybody dies. If you sin, you die. By the way, that's half the gospel. That's the bad news, then the good news, right? Jesus came, he suffered and died on the cross, and he rose again to pay the penalty for that sin. That's the good news. That's the other half. Don't minimize it. Sometimes we do. I'm 68 years old. I've been going to church for 69 years. Because I'm sure when my mom was pregnant with me, I know she was in church. And it's a shame, but there's a real benefit for growing up in the church. Some of you haven't had that experience. But one of the downsides of growing up in the church, sometimes the great truths can become commonplace. And we don't ever want that to happen with the gospel, with John 3:16. Don't let it become too familiar or too common in your mind. Jesus came and he was obedient, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He was sent. Jesus came knowing the cost. It cost something for him to come. We won't take the time to turn to Luke 22, but it might be worth some time meditating on that. Listen to this. And he, Jesus, was withdrawn from them, the disciples, about a stone's throw. I like that. I like how the Bible talks. He was 30 yards away from... No. I can picture somebody picking up a stone. Oh, okay. I see how far away he was. I like that, the way the Bible writes it. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and he prayed. And this is what Jesus said to the Father. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup, dying on the cross. Take this cup away from me. That doesn't sound like he's all excited about going. About dying. He knew the cost. And he said, Father, if there's another way to do this, let's do it that way. But he said, no. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him, and being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He knew before the cross the cost it was going to be. And he even said, God, Father, if there's another way of doing this, let's consider that. But he knew there wasn't, and he knew the Father's will, and he said, not my will, but yours. He knew the cost, and he personally was going to pay it. You know, but something is often overlooked when we talk about the gospel. Jesus definitely knew the cost, but God who sent him also knew the cost. No one is closer to God the Father than Jesus, God the Son. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, oh, those grandkids, they can just worm their way into your hearts, right? First time you hold them, they got you. And it only gets worse as they get older. And they learn quick. If they want something, they may get it from mom or dad, but go talk to grandmom. The chances are a whole lot better. A whole lot better. God's intense love for you and me was so strong that he sent his son. The one who was closest to him. We don't think about the love between the Father and the Son often enough. But it's intense. It's huge. It's strong. And yet he chose to send his son to die the worst death that could be that could happen. God's intent love sent Jesus, and God's intent love keeps us. He keeps us. He holds on to us. Paul writes in Romans 8, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. If he sent his son to die for you, nothing is going to separate you from that love. He says, for I'm persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or demons, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth will separate us from the love of God. But there's one other phrase in there. It says, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing. Put your name there. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. You don't have that kind of power. Oh, you can walk away. You can ignore. You can even work against God. It's not going to separate him from you. No other thing, no other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Has that become commonplace to you? That's an amazing statement. There are people that are scared about losing their salvation. It says right here, you can't do that. When God saves you, when he sent Jesus to pay that cost, when he knew what that cost was going to be, he knew that was strong enough to handle anything you can throw at. Sometimes we get really convicted or we feel guilty because of things we had done. And that's not a bad thing. It's good to experience that so you can deal with it. But some people say, oh, God could never love me for what I did. Oh. We had a lady come to the center one time, and she was crying. And she walked in our door crying. And I just happened to be downstairs. Talk to Kay. She'll tell you. She'll say, John doesn't work at the center because they don't. I'm out and about a lot. You know, they're the ones there in the trenches all the time doing the good things. But I happened to be there. And this girl was crying. And she was crying so hard she couldn't talk. Did you ever get that way? Where you just couldn't verbalize because you were crying. And then she started to get a little bit of control and get a little bit. And the ladies just, you know, they were right there with her. I'm choking up thinking about this. And I can just see them. And she finally starts getting control of herself. And did you ever get to the point where you're crying and you're trying to talk and you're going, you know, you're like gasping trying to get to that point? Well, she got to that point. And she got to the point where she could talk. And the one lady that was with her, I used to joke with her. She was a Norman Rockwell painting in real life. Some of you don't know who that is. Some of you do. But she was about 5 foot nothing. She was like maybe 4'10", 4'11". White hair. I said she should come to work wearing an apron with flour on it because she just looked like she was, you know, a grandmother out of a Norman Rockwell picture. And she's standing there. And finally the lady goes, I killed my baby. She had had an abortion that morning. She goes, I killed my baby. And that's not where she stopped. She goes, and now I have to go to hell. And I can still see Ruth put her arm around her and said, oh, honey, have I got good news for you. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all sins. We don't tell the girls when they come in, oh, what you did is sick. Did you ever hear that? Hear some of that? You know, you hear some of these things. You remember Kermit Gosnell, does that name mean anything to anybody? He was that abortion doctor in Philadelphia. When they raided his place, they found jars on the wall with, we won't go that far. I don't want to upset you today. He was horrible. And I heard some people say, oh, he's sick. We don't say that at the center. We use the word sin. Because, you know, some sicknesses can be cured. Some can't. But there's no sin that can't be forgiven to the ladies that walk in there. And they just put their arms and they just loved her. And in a few weeks, she actually did get saved. Doesn't always happen. We had a case this week. I think it was this week that they all run together. In the past 2 weeks, we'll say that. 14-year-old. They found out she was pregnant. And they came in. And she was bound and determined, as a 14-year-old, to have an abortion. And her mother was very upset. Her mother shared with us that she had had an abortion when she was a teenager and she did not want her daughter to go through that. But she would support her daughter in whatever she was going to do. And I wish I could tell you that she's going to have that baby. We don't know yet. We met with her. Our nurse met with her. An advocate met with her. The director of operations met with her. They all talked, and they had a very good conversation, very educational. She saw the baby on the ultrasound. She was 19 weeks pregnant. She could really see a baby on the ultrasound. And yet when they left, she hadn't made any kind of a commitment. And we've tried since that day to follow up with her, and we're getting no response. I had a counselor and a nurse in the room after she left, and I don't get to minister to the clients very often. You know, I don't go in the ultrasound room, some old guy in the ultrasound, that'd be creepy. No, I don't do that. But I have a chance, I try to minister to our volunteers and to our staff, and I had to minister to them because the two of them were crying. Because this lady walked out, not lady, this girl walked out. And she hadn't made the decision for life. And at this point, we don't know. And they were pretty upset. Our people get pretty invested in the clients. And I had to share with them that the message of pro-life is just like the message of the gospel. It's our job to give it. But we can't make somebody get saved. We can't make somebody have a baby. Our job is to be faithful and obedient and give the truth. It's God and the Holy Spirit's job to convict and do the job. And just like when you witness to somebody, there's nothing you can say to mess it up. Don't be scared to witness, oh, I don't know what to say. I never know what to say to people. You can't mess it up. God is sovereign. God is big. Man is small. You're not going to thwart God's. God's not going to say, oh, well, I guess they won't get saved now because John really messed that one up. No. No, you can't mess it up. You can make it a little bit harder. You know, you could have maybe you need to be prepared and do a good job, but you're not going to mess it up. God's going to accomplish his will, and you can be part of it or you can be out of it. But nothing can separate you from the love of God. Pray for that 14-year-old this week. Hopefully she hasn't made the final decision yet. And you know what? If she did, we'll take care of her. She can come back, and we'll still minister to her. How intense is God's love? I mean, it's nice on a sunny day with the birds chirping to think about the love of God and the beauty of nature. But man, when you're in the trenches and somebody's about ready to kill a baby, how intense is God's love to reach in there? And you guys allow us to do it. Well, you allow them to do it. Like I said, I don't get into this talk to the clients a whole lot because that would be weird. But our nurses, our Kay Glendennings, they do a great job because God's love is so intense. So what are you going to do with this information? Okay? I always like to close my messages based on my two sons. I have two boys in their 30s now, but when they were little, 5 and 8 or whatever, you say something, it was, so what? So I always put a so what in my sermon. So what? What are you going to do with this information? God's love is so intense. And Jesus knew the cost. God the Father knew the cost. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. So what? What are you going to do with it? Five quick ones and we'll be done. Number one, do you realize that you have two and only two choices? Acts 4 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There are only two choices, people. And you know what's scary? I heard this about a month ago now, I guess it was. I heard the Pope. I heard somebody told me that the Pope said there are many, many ways to heaven. I thought, nah, that can't be right. The Pope and I don't agree on a lot of things. But I thought, nah, he wouldn't say that. I went back and I pulled the tape. Now, I don't speak. Does he speak Spanish? I think he speaks Spanish. I don't speak Spanish good enough. But the translator, if they translate it, he did say that. He said that all religions lead to God. Nah, that's not true. There are only two choices, the shed blood of Jesus Christ or not. They're the only two choices you have. Number two, and this goes right along with that, no choice is a choice. No choice is a choice. Who are you for, the Eagles or the Chiefs? Oh, I don't care. That's okay. That's okay. I'm for the commercials. I watch it for the commercials. I hope they're better this year. They weren't that great last year. I hope they're better this year. But no choice is a choice when it comes to your eternal destination. No choice is a choice. Number three, God so loved the world with an intense love that's beyond our comprehension. What is the natural reaction? Be amazed and rejoice in it. This should set you off in a good way. To know that there's nothing you can do, nothing that you have done. If you're sitting here today, and I don't know why you're here if there's a problem in your life, but if you are and there's a problem in your life, it doesn't matter. God still loves you. Now, he wants you to handle it and handle it in his way, but you haven't cut yourself off from him. It's so intense. Why would you even question it? Now, not everybody had good parents. I did. And I don't ever remember questioning my parents' love. And it wasn't because they told me they loved me. For all the years that I knew them, they showed me that they loved me. You'll have to talk to my wife. She better know that I love her. And I do tell her. But I learned from my parents, you show love. You give. And I don't think she questions my love. She may question some of my decisions, but she doesn't question my love. Why would you reject it? It's so intense beyond your comprehension. I don't get it. I don't get it why people reject the love of Christ. Number four, I have to ask you, what choice have you made? I met somebody recently that told me, oh, they've been a Christian all their life. Mm-mm. That's not how it works. There's a moment in time where you were not a Christian, and then there's a next moment where you are. There's a point in time. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And you have to come to that point. If you think, I've always been a Christian, my parents were Christians, I always went to church with them, that's wonderful, but that's not how you get saved. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There needs to be a point in time. Now, some people are wonderful. They're so fortunate. They'll say, oh, on January 6, 1982, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I prayed the prayer of salvation. I can't do that. I can't even tell you the time of year it was. I can tell you it was a Sunday. I know it was a Sunday, because after church, we went back home, like we always did, And I said to my parents, I think I need to accept Jesus. Well, everything stopped, right? And my mom took me to her bedroom, and we knelt beside her bed, and she explained it to me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I have no, that could have been the summer, that could have been the winter. I have no idea. I don't know the date. But I know it happened. There was a point in time where she tells me later I was in first grade. There was a time when that first grader, John, was not a believer in Jesus Christ. I believed in him. I went to church all my life. I knew all the stories. But there was a point in time where I was not saved, and then I prayed with my mom, and I was saved. That needs to be you. You don't have to know the date, time. Whenever I lead somebody to the Lord now, I do make sure I point out the date and the time, because Satan will try to attack you. Oh, you didn't mean it then. You were only in first grade, right? No. And if you ever lead someone to the Lord, make sure they know the time so that when they face those temptations from Satan, they have some information to battle them. But there needs to be a time. And if you don't have that time clear in your mind, oh my goodness, we have people in this church that will sit and I'll talk to you, pastor will talk to you, the deacons will talk to you, the ladies, the choir ladies, you know, we all want you to be saved. Today is the day. Fifth and final. If you think about it, for God so loved the world, the choice is so easy. It's not easy. It's so easy. What's keeping you from making it? It's that simple. It's that easy. Now, I don't want to mislead you. Oh, accept Christ as your Savior and you'll never have any more problems. No. Anybody that's been a Christian for any length of time knows that's not true. But you have someone to take you through the problems. Not to get you out of the problems, but to get you through the problems. It's so easy. Don't let the day go. Do you know what? Get saved today, because you can say, hey, it was Super Bowl Sunday. You'll remember the day that won the Super Bowl. Whoever will. Let's pray. Father, sometimes your message astounds us. It is so exciting. It is so relevant. It is so amazing. Father, that you so loved us and that you gave your only begotten Son and he willingly came and accepted what you wanted him to do and you gave him up for us and that nothing can separate us from his love. Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not have that experience, that doesn't realize it has to be a point in time where it happens, Father, make today their day. Give them the strength and courage to speak out so that one of us can sit down and really walk through it with them so they understand. But Father, we trust you for that. We believe it's your will. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother John. That was encouraging as we think about God so loving us. And there's application there for us even as believers as we think about the love of God and we go through certain difficulties in our lives and trials. That those passages from Romans 8 are a great encouragement to us. As Brother John said, that on this kind of weather-related morning, if you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is not that point of time or that continued faith in Jesus Christ, you can simply, where you are, if God is so working in your heart and convicting you, you can right now admit to him that, yes, I'm a sinner in need. I just sense a need in my life, and that's just the Spirit of God speaking to you about your need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can simply in your heart just ask the Lord Jesus Christ, invite him in to receive the free gift of his work on the cross for you, his resurrection from the tomb. You can invite him into your life and ask him to be your Savior. And he promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved as you believe in him and trust in him and embrace the good news of Jesus Christ. And then tell others. Tell somebody that you've done that. Maybe a Christian friend or family member that you know, or one of us here. Because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there should be in your life then a desire to tell others and let others know you have become and known Christ. But it's a simple choice, as Brother John said, of just simply admitting sin, or inviting Jesus into your life and accepting his free gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternal life through faith in Christ and Christ alone. If we can help you in that, we are here, many of us, as Brother John said, to encourage you in that way. We're going to take a special offering here in just a moment for Brother John, the Capital Area Pregnancy Center, as the Lord would lead him in this gift. And again, thank you for your support for that ministry in various ways and times. And we're excited as well as how God uses that money. And so we thank the Lord for that. Okay, don't forget to sign up for the banquet if you'd like to attend so we can get those reservations in. And if you'd like to grab a baked good or two for the teens or sign up for their banquet dinner next week, please make sure you do that as well. Well, as the men come, we'll be praying for just the testimonies that'll take place during that banquet for appropriate weather, and also for the clients themselves and the ministry of those team members and volunteers there. Father, we thank you again that we can come to you now and just pray for this ministry, the Capital Area Pregnancy Center. We pray as the upcoming banquet's coming on March the 6th that you'll be with those clients that they're working with now that'll be sharing their testimonies, Father, of how you and are working in their lives, though some are believers, some maybe your spirit is working. But we're thankful, Father, that these people became vulnerable and transparent and sought help and assistance through this ministry. And we pray you'll bless those testimonies, that they would go forth even powerfully. We pray that you'll just help all the details of that event and also the weather that will allow people to get there. And we pray you'll just watch over that. We just trust in your sovereign hand. And we pray for the clients and even this 14-year-old young lady, that, Father, you would just help her, Lord. And this world is so broken, and we are all examples of that brokenness because of sin, and we all fall short and come short of your glory. But Father, we thank you again that, as Brother John reminded us, that we cannot be separated from your love, for God is love. So we thank you for that and pray you'll work in this young lady's life and others as well. And so, Father, we thank you. We are just called here to serve. We're just called here to do your will. And again, it is you that works. And it is the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so we thank you for that. Bless these funds now, that they would encourage and meet needs as we give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John, I'll let you go back to the back there. You'll be by the table there. If you have questions about the Capital Area Pregnancy Center, volunteer opportunities, they have a little closet with goods that can be donated to mothers, and sometimes those things need to be organized and straightened up and some of the various things. But Brother John will be back there for you to greet as you leave today. Well, be careful. There might still be a little patch here or there in the parking lot, and of course, in your neighborhood as well. And God bless you. Have a good day.